start slacking off on the safety measures because we've actually got a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel here. And not going along with the plan just makes the plan take longer to realize. You see what I'm saying? With that in mind, visit us on the web at www.ckut.ca just to switch gears because it is funding drive season. We would love your contributions and we'll welcome them with grace and aplomb. CKUT 90.3 FM.
Skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to my nation. That's what the world is today. The sale of pills are at an all-time high. Young folks walking around with their heads in the sky. Cities aflame in the summertime.
We'll be right back. got no plans to leave me.
out, you don't know just what to do. Living all of your days in darkness, let the sun shine through. Ever feeling somehow, somewhere you lost your way? And if you don't get a help quick, you won't make it through the day. Or could you call on Lady Day? Could you call on John Coltrane? Now, cause they'll wash your troubles, your troubles, your troubles, your troubles away. Plastic people with plastic minds are on their way to plastic home.
Just a nervous end. what you say about it. Looks like another love TKO. Oh, oh, oh. Yes, I think I better let it go.
Let it go, baby.
Oh, baby.
Looks like another love TKO.
Hey, you're tuned in to CKUT 90.3 FM, Greater Montreal. This, once again, is Logic Johnson coming to you pre-recorded for your safety and mine with another episode of Listen, Do You Smell Something? I'd like to remind you all that it is time for the funding drive. As we speak, we are cordially and graciously inviting and accepting donations and contributions from our fans and listeners. So any amount you can give trust me, these all add up. There's no amount too small. Now, it is true that at certain price points, at certain magic numbers, we will reciprocate with some goodies. You know, you ever had a CKUT t-shirt? They are wondrous. I gotta tell you, of all the clothing experiences that I've had lately, the mythical CKUT t-shirt, top of the list, I gotta say, top three. Last year's design was bloody awesome. It was the 2019 design. Last year was 2020. What am I doing? Okay, we just finished hearing The Temptations with Ball of Confusion. Zapp and Roger with I Heard It Through the Grapevine for you Friday fans. We had Gil Scott-Heron with Lady Day and John Coltrane. Teddy Pendergrass, Might Have Heard of Him, with Love TKO. And the Marlboro Men with Ride on Iron Horse. So with that being said, coming up next in its integrality, we have Lightning Rod with Hustler's Convention, the whole album from front to back. We bring it back from time to time, maybe once a year, because we just like to think of it as a special treat for the listeners. So don't go nowhere. We're closing the show out in a bit. But first, go ahead and put this in your ear.
Of 59, I was young and cool and shot a bad game of pool and hustled all the chumps I could find. Well, now they call me sport cause I pushed the bar short and loved all the women to death. I partied hard and packed a mean rod and could knock you out with a right or left. I'd learned to shoot pool playing hooky from school at the tender age of 9. And by the time I was 11, I could pad roll 7 and down me a whole quart of wine. I was making it a point to smoke me a joint at least once during the course of the day. And I was snorting scab while other kids played tag. And my elders went to church to pray. I pitched pennies and down bennies and played the horses at the track. I wanted cards against tremendous odds. And my favorite game was blackjack. I seldom lost cause my game was so boss. I mean, I had my shit down pat and I was running through bitches like rags to riches, cause that's where my heart was at. Yes, I was a down stud's dream, a hustler supreme. There wasn't no game that I couldn't play. And if I caught a dude cheating, I would give him a beating and I might even blow him away. Now my ace Boom Poon was a young boy named Spoon. My crime partner from the block, he had served a bullet and a deuce. And now they were cutting him loose from the joint they called a rock. We had hung out as kids, serving alternate bids in various reform schools and jails. And he was like my kid brother, and we had helped one another till he was busted for some stolen good sales. When he finally came back on the scene, his wardrobe was lean, so I bought him some vines of his own. And then we lit up some smoke and snorted some coke. And I dug how the brother had grown. He was bigger and meaner, and his mind was more keener. And he had earned the rep with his hand.
Jones.
Plus, he was eager to compete with the hustlers on the street for my man and ambitious plans. Now lent them a yard, copped them a rod, a 38 blue steel piece. Then we split to the Cafe Black Rose to party with some hoes. And for dinner, we ordered a piece. Everybody goes to the Cafe Black Rose to drink, party, and eat. If you ain't down, you better not hang around, else you sure as hell will get beat. The grease is nice and at a decent price, and all the bitches is fine. The jazz is so sweet, you'll be patting your feet while sipping on a cold glass of wine. You can cop your bag, a reef or a skag, and even some coke or some hash. But don't ask for no credit or they'll tell you forget it, cause hustlers only deal in cold cash. We had just finished greasing when the bitches started teasing for us to split and lay. Spoon's cunt collar was tight, which is understandably right after serving 3 years in a day. We about ready to split when I dug Brother Harmony Grip, a runner from the south side of town. He was coming our way, so I figured we'd lay and hear about the happenings going down. Brother Grip was hip to all kinds of shit. I mean, there wasn't nothing he didn't know. He knew every hustler's name, including his game and who did or didn't keep dough. We traded jive and slapped each other five, and Spoon silently checked him out. He had heard that Spoon was my ace boom poon, so he knew what our hustles was about. He was as usual, so sporting as well, clean from head to toe. He was dressed pressed down in a pinstripe brown, and his pocket was bulging with dough.
Dick, I've got some news, you dudes could use, that might help y'all get by. So I thought I'd nonchalantly mention the Hustlers Convention taking place at the end of July. It'll be at Ham Hocks Hall, winner take all, and only the best can play. Cost you 10 grand to get in, but you must continue to win, or you won't be allowed to stay. There'll be money for the making, bitches for the taking, and all you can shoot, snort, smoke, or drink. And a whole lot of lames will fall victim to the games, cause only true hustlers can think. Gonna be hustlers galore, trying to score, traveling by land, sea, and air. There'll be a coming to play from New York and L.A. and other points distant and near. They'll start to arrive around 11:55 at number 66 Snake Eyes Square. Won't be no cops on this beat. They've been paid off real sweet. Why, even the mayor done copped them a share. Now, I'ma be in charge of the security men at large that'll be surveilling the flow. And when the shit hit the fan, just squeeze the palm of my hand. Now let y'all slip out the dough. Just give me 20% of each earned grand from either you or your man, subtracted from your total net. And the words telephone for you will be y'all's cue to start easing from out of the set. Well, that's about it, Jim. It's time for me to split now. Y'all can school me in a week or two. Sport, you should make it a bet. Land on the set. Let Spoon make his hustler's debut.
Grit had our heads spinning, just thinking about winning. But we maintain a silent stare. The main hustler blew it, don't blow your cool. So we acted like we didn't care. But I knew this was it as I watched Grit split, contemplating what all this meant. Well, I had saved my money like a B-star's honey, just laying to make this event. Spoon let me know that he was ready to go, so we anteed up and split.
we went to a Southside hotel called the Fires of Hell and proceeded to cop a little bit. And time flew by, and it was soon July, and the days grew funky and hot, but me and Spoon, we played it cool, and I taught him to shoot pool, till he could soon sink three in one shot. I kept him under wraps, till he had mastered shooting craps, and could deal a winning hand. We would practice all day, then at night we would play poker, talk, and coon can. Soon, Spoon got good at his old new livelihood, and now we were ready to deal. There was money to be made, this here hustler's trade, and soon it would be for real. We gave Good a ring the day before the thing to let him know that we'd be there, but it was early in the morning, cause Grit was still yawning, and all he could say was, yeah! Me and my man Spoon, we went shopping that noon to cop us some fronts for the set. We needed some vines that would blow their minds, plus give us all the finesse we could get. We went to a tailor named Wong, who sold suits from Hong Kong and could sew a suit on your back. I caught me a four-button roll and he spun the spoon of silk gold. Then we split in our beige Cadillac. We went to Baby Blues to cop our shoes, some comfort split toes and canes. Blue smuggles in ships and makes overseas trips while hustling big company lanes. We rapped for a while, then left blues in style, sporting our brand new kicks. Went to a hatter named Knox, copped some straw diamond blocks, then split by the quarter to six. We wined and dined and prepared our minds for the task that lay ahead. Jumped super clean and split to the scene, smoking Panamanian red. You could feel all the tension building up at the convention as the hustlers began to arrive. Must have been 9,000 or more that came through the door. The time was 11:55. There were pickpockets and dope peddlers, murderers and thieves, card sharp gamblers with aces up their sleeves, bank robbers, burglars, boosters and pimps, prostitutes, call girls, and all kinds of nymphs, loan sharks, swindlers, counterfeiters and fences, crooked politicians spending campaign expenses, hijackers, arsonists, bookies and the mob, and anybody else who ever killed, cheated or robbed. Ex-Pugline Brown proceeded to pat us down while his fine broad checked our hats. Grit nodded to him slightly and Brown shook us down lightly, treating us like diplomats. Brown let us slide, so we went inside with our .38 strapped to our chest. Without making a sound, we slowly looked around and scoped on all the rest of the guests. Ham hocks hall was big, so there was a whole lot to dig. As our eyes quickly scanned the place, the decor was fly. Everybody looked high as I focused on a familiar face. It was Stingy Brim Slim and his crime partner Jim, two hustlers from a long ways back. They were dressed to the bone and their reputations are well known, bagging on kilos of smack. They were rapping to Big Bill Wheeler, international dope dealer, about who was gonna win the night. Bill had bet a grand on a hustler named Van, who supposedly had a shit up tight. But me and Spoon, we just grinned as we continued to pin to see who else was there. We spotted finger popping Teddy and his call girl Betty, whose perfume had lit up the air. I recall the past and how Teddy's rep had spread fast for being so swift with his hands. From the wallet in your pocket to a ring watcher locket, we specialize in expensive brands. Now Betty, it was said, could kill a great boy in bed and make the chumps admit they would come before they came. Then she would pickpocket the lame while telling him that he wasn't shit. My eyes caught a glimpse of two super fly pimps who had just come through the door. I could tell they were down from out of town just by the clothes that they wore.
like a peacock's parade. They strutted around on silk slacks, handmade, spawning tan alligator shoes, decked out in colorful shirts of pink, yellow, and red, stitching a gold blue thread, and acting like they couldn't lose. Spoon and I were impressed by the way these cats were dressed and how smooth they seemed to be. But there was one thing we knew for sure, and that's that there couldn't be no draw between us masters of streetology. We didn't find out till later from a booster named Ada the monikers that these cats went by. They were known as Spongy Carp from out of Harlem, New York, and his partner Chicago Shy. By now, champagne was flowing, the big band was blowing, as the musicians gave it all they had. Some cats were dancing, others were romancing, but everybody's head was bad. The joint was packed back to back, and the hustlers were eager to begin. They were ready to play from night to day, because all of them wanted to win. There were private rooms in the rear at the top of the stair for the studs who wanted to lay, but the main set was below for the cats with the dough, the hustlers who had came here to play. We were now ready to oppose our illustrious foes, so we made it downstairs to the set. It was a quarter after one, and the players had already begun bidding on their opening bet. We shot craps first, since there was no limit on the purse, and we could bet as much as we please. I bet 5 yards, and Spoon took on all odds, making his first 7 with ease. We now had 5 yards to spend, so I made the same bet again as I watched the bones fly from Spoon's hand. He just missed hitting 7, but the 6-5 made 11, doubling our 5 yards to a grand. We went on and bet the whole band, which was faded by Van, the hustler whom Big Bill thought would score. Spoon rolled it off balance 5 and made himself a pair jive, which sank Van to betting 4 more. There were equal bets around the table that Spoon wouldn't be able to make his 5 and survive. But he made his point, fooling everyone in the joint and kept his streak alive. Van was now visibly upset, upped his bet, doubling to 5,010. But there was nothing he could do against a 5 and a 2 except watch as Spoon did it again. Van got mad at everything he had, trying to save some face. But a 3 to 4 made him permanently poor, and the man had to leave the place. We had picked up 20 G's, bringing Van to his knees. Before Spoon surrendered the dice, he had scored so bad that everybody got scared, didn't want to try him twice. A few other studs rolled, but their games was cold. Soon they all blew their dough. The only dude that seemed ready was finger-popping Teddy, and now was his turn to throw. He picked up the dice, blew on them twice, and hollered out,
"The kiddo better grand. My bucks is long and my game is strong, and I'll take on any man."
I faded his bet to my regret and watched him throw 52, but he had switched to dice, and that wasn't nice, only he didn't know I knew. Yes, his fingers was fast, and he had slipped his stuff past the eyesight of everybody there. But being true to his name, I had peeped on his game, and my man wasn't playing fair. I decided to let him play rather than betray his secret to the rest of the crowd. Only the end of his game wouldn't be the same after I blew his cool out loud. I let him breeze through 5 more G's before I made my move. I then tripled the bet and watched him sweat, wondering what I was trying to prove. He sensed that I knew what he'd been trying to do and figured he'd better lose. It was self-defeating to get caught cheating, and he didn't want to pay them dues. So I wasn't surprised when he rolled snake eyes and acted like he had made a mistake. He had played it smart, so I let him depart without revealing that his trick bones were fake. It would have meant his death had I exposed his theft, for this was the hustler's law. They would have shot him dead and took all his bread if I had told him what was really the score. It was now 2:30, and the crap game was through. As Spoon and I counted our loot, between finger popping and Van, we had made 32 grand, and I didn't even have to shoot. We pocketed our bread and lit up some red and tipped over to shoot some pool. But we could tell by the play that they were well underway, cause a quick run would end the whole do. It was the second frame of a rotation ball game. The Spoon and I stood digging the scene. They were playing 61 and Slim had just finished a run and had left the whole table clean. His opponent had lost at a hellified cost, and no one else wanted to play. So I stepped up to the table and announced that I was able. And this is what Slim had to say.
Hey, take the slave challenging my game. Why, you must be out of your head. Jump! I'll beat you so fast you'll be pelling your ass trying to make back your bread. Cost 5 yards a point to play in this joint. You can't come in on no humble. You got to show me your cash before we clash and dent me and you can rumble. First count out 30 grand and give it to your man. And likewise, I'll do the same. We'll use the extra 5 yards and tip the guards. And then we'll commence with the game.
I produced the dough and showed my foe that all the money was there. He covered my stake, then we lagged for the break. And I won it fair and square. I chose a 20-ounce cue that was just like new. While Stingy been racked him up, I chalked my tip. Snapped the cue like a whip and watched the balls erupt. The break was so loud that it hushed the crowd. They all grew quiet and still. I had sunk to one and thus begun the test of my pool room skill. I put English on the cue, then dropped the two, then sank the three and the four. Continued my drive by banking the five while Spoon kept track of the score. I dropped the six, then just for kick sank the seven and eight. Pocketed the nine and the ten and chalked up again while Stingy Grim pondered his fate. I needed one more shot to win this pot while Slim was praying I'd miss. But his hell was my heaven when I sighted the 11 and sank it on a rail shot kiss. This ended the game and Silas Slim's claim that he was the greatest at pool. I had made a clean sweep and saw the wolf turn sheep after publicly blowing his cool. His jaws got tight and he wanted to fight, but his partner held his hand. It would have cost him his life had he had drawn his knife, in addition to 30 grand. With Spoon's piece at his head, he'd have definitely been dead. And it would have been nothing he could have done. It was just lucky for him that his partner Jim had dug Spoon drawing his gun. We collected our dough and told him to go. While they both still had the chance, Slim looked so grim, I felt sorry for him being a victim of circumstance. They each flashed a grin and got in the wind as fast as they could flee. We paid off the guards and went on to play cards. The time read approximately 3. We had made over 62 grand since we first began, and we didn't even work up a sweat. It was a royal little sum, but the best was yet to come as we listened to the card shops bet.
Bet a run, bet 2. Is that the best y'all can do? Bet 3, bet 4. I'll raise you 2 more.
The poker table was crowded and heavily enshrouded with the smoke of the players' cigars. They were drinking and smoking, snorting and coking, and being watched by 2 underworld czars. There were 7 cats playing, but only 3 of them were staying, cause the other 4 dudes had to fold. These 3 studs were hot and had won every pot, whilst the other cat's hands were cold. They were playing 5-card draw and had won premature, and just knew that they had it made, so we decided we'd liven up the pot by copping a squat, cause we were much more harder to persuade. Big Bill Wheeler had been the dealer, along with Spongy and Shy. They had played it slick and used the Indian give a trick, then let the other 4 cats comply. We copped our squats, then anteed in the pot. The figure was set at a grand. We sat across from each other so we could dig one another and signal when we copped a hand. With our emotions concealed, we each cut for the deal, then passed around the pack. First Spongy and I, then Bill, Spoon, and Shy, who was the first man to come up with a jack. Shy broke out a new deck, which I asked to inspect. Before we all embarked, I checked out the front, sides, and back, then let Spoon cut the pack, satisfied that the cards weren't marked. He shuffled and dealt with nerves like steel, commanding our quiet respect. After receiving my hand, I signaled to my man to open up indirect. Spoon coughed back twice, letting me know he was nice, sitting there with 3 of a kind. But first we'd have to lure them in and let them think they could win by making our attacks combine. Spongy opened 4 grand and the play began, but not till they had paid the price, cause I quickly raised his bet with my jaws dead set, wearing a face like a sheet of ice. it was now on Bill to assert his will and call my raise of 20, but he ended his bout by copping out, saying, that's buku bucks too many. Spoon diagnosed the effects as his turn came next, just like I expected him to. He then called my bet and Shy began to sweat, trying to figure out what he should do. He soon realized that he couldn't last, so he reluctantly passed, and it was now on Spongy again. After wiping away his sweat, he called my bet, then raised me another 10. But by now, we had cramped their style and had Spongy's mind beguiled, so he didn't know what to do. I then folded my hand according to plan, giving Spoon the green light cue. Spoon tripled his 10, and it was on Spongy again. The call raised a dime. The pressure was so great, he had to deliberate before he could give his reply. After a 5-minute stall, he finally called, saying, I'll take 2 cards, my man. Spoon also took 2, and the tension grew as to who had the better hand. Spoon soon signaled with a nod, indicating he had received a card he needed to make 4 of a kind. Meanwhile, Spongy had raised him another 10, saying, it's on you, my friend, trying to put my man in the bind. But Spoon took it in stride as he quickly complied and dealt with the situation. He put his 10 G's in the pot, saying, now let's see what you got, without the slightest hesitation. Spongy laid down his hand, saying, 4 studs, my man, and reached over to scoop up the pot. But Spoon stopped him cold, saying, it's about time you were told. 4 bitches is what I got. Dude went mad and started to jump bad, pulling his Roscoe out of his slide. Just then, Grit shouted the cue, telephone for you, interrupting a sure homicide. Everybody froze, the Spoon and I rose with our pieces in our hands. Spoon scooped up the dough, and we moved away slow, cause we had other plans. We had made 110 grand on that last poker hand, bringing our total up to 172. I figured we'd pay off Grit, then sky up and split, now that our work was through. Grit had 2 of his men escort us back to his den, while 2 more posed as our double. They covered our backs against any sneak attacks in case we should run into trouble. He was beaming with pride when we stepped inside and greeted us like we were his sons. He slapped his 5 and started rapping his jive about how happy he was that we won. I dig you cats, I dig y'all where it's at, but y'all gonna have to get up off 60%. You see, I got to give my bosses a cut or else they're burying my butt, cause I'll phone us behind the rent. Now I know how you feel, but that's the deal. Sorry, but my hands are tied. Them grades got the odds all stacked. Plus, y'all are coming from the back, so please keep your hands from your sides. Just turn around slow and hand them over the dough, and I'll see to it that nobody gets hurt. And if y'all do as you're told, you might live to grow old, and you won't have to bite the dirt. I dropped and spun, firing 2 rounds from my gun, while Spoon covered Grit with his shit. This caught the Grays by surprise, and I put 2 slugs twixt their eyes. Then we used Grit's body to split. We backed out slow, still clutching our dough, and using Grit's body as a shield. Spoon had the money in his sack and his gun in Grit's back, so Grit made his bodyguards yield. When we got to the door, we flung Grit to the floor, then fired a few rounds in the air. The shots rang loud, panicked the crowd, and they all started running for the rear. We cut out for the short to avoid getting caught, now that the shit had hit the fan. But as we burst through the door, we were chased by 4 more, and they pursued us in a blue sedan. Fortunately, our hog was fast, and we had a full tank of gas as I accelerated to 105, but they were hot on our heels and some Oldsmobile wheels equipped with automatic super drive. We headed west on the Crosstown Express to try and shake these chumps. But it became a 3-car race when the police joined the chase, and our only chance was to head for the dumps. The sedan broke off the chase when they saw the police enter the case. As the pursuer became the prey, their driver lost his nerve, and they smashed up on the curb and were killed trying to get away. Since we had them both beat from the jump, we arrived first at the dump and pulled into one of the lanes. There were rows of abandoned wrecks, one right after the next, and they were linked by rusted chains. We had played there as kids and had oftentimes hid stolen goods, jewelry, or cash. We would go there a lot to hide stuff that was hot when we couldn't get next to our stash. We stashed our cash in a 12-car from the last, then proceeded to get in the wind. But we were a little too late, because they had us cut off at the gate and the police were closing in. Seems they had radioed ahead as our lead on them spread, and five more men joined the pursuit. We found ourselves surrounded by the man, and we were forced to take a stand, because the only way out was to shoot. They turned their floodlights on, then used the bullhorn to tell us to throw down our arms. They guaranteed us a fair trial if we came out single file, and promised that we'd come to no harm. But we could tell by their rap that they were laying a trap to get us to step out in the light. They would shoot a black man to death on just suspicion of theft, so we figured it was better to fight. He shot their floodlights out, then heard their captain shout, "Open fire on them, men!" They cut loose with a barrage of lead that whistled past my head, and the shit hit the fan again. They pinned us down with our stomachs to the ground, and I knew that we'd have to move fast. There was only one way out, and that was by a secret route that we had oftentimes used in the past. I told Spoon to go, but he yelled back no and wanted to argue the point. I told him that I didn't have the time, because I had already made up my mind that he wasn't going back to the joint. He mumbled some shit about not wanting to split, then reluctantly got in the wind. He hadn't been long gone when the police came on, knocked down three of them as they were closing in. But their attack was combined, and two more came up from behind and shot me before I could turn around. I heard a whip-like crack and felt a sharp pain in my back as I slumped and fell to the ground. They started busting me up good and would have killed me if they could. But for this one black cop on the scene, they were stomping me to death, and I was gasping for breath when he stepped up and intervened. When I finally came to, I was all black and blue, and one of my legs was in a sling. I was handcuffed at the wrist and on the critical list in the prison ward hospital wing. Seems they had blown a hole through my chest that almost laid me to rest and put knots all upside my head. I was gagging and choking, and my right leg was broken, and it was just a miracle that I wasn't dead. I was sentenced to the chair and shipped to Sing Sing from there, where I spent the next 12 years on death row. But I kept on copping a stay till the death penalty was done away, and after retrial, they finally let me go. It had cost me 12 years of my time to realize what a nickel and dime hustler I had really been, while the real hustlers were ripping off billions from the unsuspecting millions who are programmed to think they can win. But fortunately, I had escaped from the deathly fate of being fried alive in a chair, because in my solitude, I found out what's really going down. You see, I had learned the whole truth while I was dead.
And there you have it. Time to close out the show, folks. Once again, this has been another weekly presentation of Listen. Did you smell something? Always glad to be with you guys, folks. And, we just finished hearing Hustlers Convention by Lightning Rod. You can't not love it. I dare say, if you don't like that album, possibly Satan has you. But you know what? Maybe I'm also being a little overboard. But yeah, anyways. I want you all to take care of yourselves. I also want you all to think of the person next to you. We don't always do it. We don't kind of really need to do it normally. I understand life is about watching out for yourself. But you might be surprised at how, considering your surroundings, even more so than ever, might yield some positive results that you're going to feel sooner than later. But getting a little abstract here. The closing hip-hop track of the week is Pharoah Monch featuring Erykah Badu with Hold On. I'd like to remind you all to keep your ears and your eyes, but especially your nose, wide open. I'm out. We'll catch you next week.
You are beautiful. You know that?
Uh-huh.
Do you know that?
Yes.
You do?
Uh-huh.
You know when those kids tease you?
Uh-huh.
Don't you ever worry about that, because you are very beautiful. Do you know you're beautiful?
Uh-huh.
Are you ready?
My
love. I love you.
He pushed her down and called her black and ugly. She asked, why must you tease me? He laughed at her, said, you're from Africa, your hair is peasy. Your skin is dark and greasy, and plus you are so beneath me. Please trust me, it wasn't easy, for Diamond, it scarred her deeply. Plays like a Fender bass. To myself, thought, how much does gender play? Remembering such hatred at this tender age. If I could send a mental page, my thoughts would end the rage. Reminiscing of the looks to her in class I gave, my eyes would say, from William Lynch. Millions tried to rise like killing him, but died in the fields and the trenches. Cries from the killing is senseless. Eyes to the ceiling, it quenches a thirst and a feeling that's endless. The prize like a rain that renters the soul and cleanses your mind from white picketed fences. Heads up your ass, splinters and face mentally riding benches. The master's past is disastrous, the fascist bastards, they crafted this hazardous plan that still has us broken and battered. We shoulder the struggle with the weight of a boulder that muffles the sound of provocative banging the pieces of puzzles. Incompleted, only deleted to be pushed to the back of your mind like a hairline that has receded. Now we repeated the process but never weeded the problem out. Heeded the warnings but never proceeded to solve it. No forward progress, it's obvious the soul is gone. I meditate and pray that these words will somehow allow you to. Timeless, how she maneuvers like Heimlich. In this new world, it reminds me of Isis. She knows now that her complexion is a holy device, a protection from UV rays in this negative time of crisis. Like a knife with butter slices, easily to anger, she reacts pious, like a cell protecting itself from a virus. Twice as strong as her demeanor, now she is righteous. God is what you see now when you peer inside her eyes.
Tonight, you know what you do?
What?
Blaze it up. Blaze it up. Tonight. What me say? Blaze it up. Blaze it up. Roll up a fat blunt, you know we have to light it up. 420. Tonight when I go save it up. Tell them we used to run and hide. Tonight me have to show it up. Flames to the weed. You know me have to light it up. Jeep on the mic. Tonight me celebrate it up. 420. You know me have to light it up. Flex, you know me no get vexed. Girl say, you know me love they. Ha! Let them know, G-Flex me there. They pan the phone, tonight me a go.
Educate all your mind to your cerebellum. Enough of them a go on like say them blasted dumb. G-Flex me name in a tumble dung. But when it come to lyrics, what? Hey, tonight, 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 tonight. Tonight, 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 tonight. Me catch a flight, Paris, me go and done it. Tonight, tonight, tonight. I be a girl, me have beat out them Bugs Bunny. Hey. Tonight, 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 tonight. Tonight, 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 tonight. Show time they are. Tonight is prime time. Me now wait till 31st come car. Tonight, 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 tonight. This a G-Flex and me dey pan the flight. Tonight, 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 tonight. I could have strictly COVID. Me dey pan the flight, yeah. That can't stop coming on the chat, yeah. This a G-Flex, so me come for take flight, yeah. Tonight, 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 tonight. Tonight, 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 tonight. Now me remix the track and I make a hit one, yeah. Tonight, tonight, that a B-Flex song, yeah. Tonight, 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 tonight. Beat out them Bugs Bunny, eh?